All right, fellas, go ahead and pass those sheets of paper out, if you will. No quiz this week. Last week, we handed out a maybe 10-question quiz. Just want to give you something that you can keep along with where we're at. We are in the book of Philemon. One chapter. We said this is more like a postcard than a letter. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1 and read through verse 7, but we're going to be looking at verses 4 through 7. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Now, we've said that Paul is getting ready to give a request. He's going to bring in this idea of forgiving Onesimus, who has left. We'll find more out about that in the coming weeks. He doesn't even mention Onesimus's name until almost halfway through the letter. But he is not just buttering Paul is not just buttering up Philemon, just giving him all these platitudes, getting ready to ask him something. That's not the lesson that we're to learn. I believe Paul is looking at a man who loves the Lord, who has done some amazing things for the Lord, and is just genuinely thankful. And so I want to look at some characteristics of not only Paul, but that Paul recognizes in Philemon. Now, this is not a complete portrait of what a perfect Christian looks like, but I believe that if we are born again, there should be some character qualities, there should be some things in our lives that really surface to the top, and they ought to be evident in the life of a fervent Christian. First thing I want to see is Paul's praise and prayer for Philemon. Paul's praise and prayer for Philemon. Paul immediately gives thanks to God. He says, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. What is it to give thanks? Being thankful? Gratitude, we call it. Is it just words that we use? Is it a condition of the heart? Is it just something that's polite and that we want to have good manners and etiquette? Is that what being thankful is all about? Well, it's a little bit of all of that, really. But gratitude ought to emanate in the heart and make it to the lips, okay? And it's a heart attitude. Ask yourself, am I a thankful person? We're going to talk about some effects of gratitude in just a moment. But when we have a thankful spirit, if I could put it that way, that's going to show up in some different ways in our life. I want to talk about, just for a moment, some of the positive aspects of gratitude in the Christian's life. You know what gratitude does for a Christian, or what it should do? It should strengthen your faith and trust in God. It is something that is going to remind us of who is the blesser. Do you understand? Our country celebrates Thanksgiving. And it is amazing to me that, you know, it's not just a holiday weekend where there's big football games, but there's this time where people literally stop and they say, we want to be thankful. That begs the question, thankful to whom? Or thankful to what? You can't just be thankful to nothing. You got to be thankful for whoever did a kind deed to you, whoever has, if I could put it this way, blessed you. Now, sometimes you can be thankful for family, and or thankful to family, excuse me. You can be thankful to co-workers, and you can be thankful for your employer, and there's nothing wrong with being thankful to people. But ultimately, even in the Thanksgiving holiday season, it is a reflection of our gratitude to Almighty God. That's what it should be. And so when we stop and we see who the blesser is, that ought to strengthen our faith and our trust in God. Why not just our faith? Why does it include our trust? Well, because when we see that God is continually blessing us daily, when we acknowledge the fact that He daily loadeth us down with His benefits, we see that there is a history then, and history breeds trust. When you see somebody is trustworthy, not just one time, but 365 times out of the year at least, okay, that's just stopping one time a day and acknowledging God's goodness in your life, you get a track record, and you can begin to trust Him, and maybe in some areas that you've been reluctant to. And when you acknowledge His blessings here and His faithfulness here and His goodness to me here, and you realize you've been holding back in this area, and you say, Lord, I know You're good in all these different areas, and so I'm going to take a step out by faith, and I'm going to trust You, it increases your faith and your trust in God. It's amazing that something as simple as gratitude can be such a fertilizer for your faith. I believe having that attitude of gratitude fosters contentment and gives joy. Why is that? Because when we are grateful for what we have, we're going to be content with what we have. The somebody that is regularly thanking God for what God has given to them cultivates that spirit of contentment. It wards off dissatisfaction. It wards off comparisons. And so as gratitude grows in your life, if I could put it that way, as you're cultivating it, as you're feeding it, as it's coming to fruition in your life, it allows you to be or have peace in your life with what God has given to you. You're driving down the road all the time and you're looking at everything you don't have in this world, you're going to be a very discontent person. But when you realize that what God has given to you, that what you have God has given to you, and you are grateful for His provision for your life, that breeds that contentment, and with contentment comes joy. I think when we cultivate that heart of gratitude, that attitude of gratitude as it's called, not only does it strengthen our faith and trust in God, not only does it foster contentment and joy in our life, but it deepens or strengthens the relationship that we have with others, with other believers. You know, when you have a heart of attitude towards God, I think we're more likely to take notice when somebody else is a blessing to us. And so, as we thank God for other believers because of their goodness to us in our life and how they add to our lives. Now, when I say add to our lives, I'm not saying that because somebody is giving you something. Boy, I hope that the people in your life add value to your life because of who they are, not what you can get from them. That's not what I'm saying at all. As a matter of fact, Paul is not thanking God for Philemon for what he can get from Philemon, but instead he is remembering the relationship that they had and how it has benefited and edified himself. And he's saying, listen, when I go to God and pray, I'm constantly thanking God for who you are and what you've done. And I wonder if there's some people that maybe you need to go to God and thank Him for their influence in your life, for their friendship, for their input into your life. You know, the Bible says that iron sharpeneth iron. And I think sometimes, even in this area of friendship, we just take people for granted. I read about a fella by the name of Christopher McCandless.
He was a young man from a pretty much well-to-do family, and he grew up, and after graduating from college, he just became more and more disillusioned with society and thinking that everything had turned to materialism. Maybe he wasn't that far off, I don't know. But he rejected what he saw as the shallow comforts that were provided to him by his parents and their lifestyle. So he expressed almost no appreciation to his parents for the sacrifices they had made in order for him to even go to school in the first place. He never thanked them for the support that they had given him and the stable home that he grew up in. So he set off. He left home after college and set off on a journey into the wilderness to seek a purer, more self-sufficient way of life. So during his travels, McCandless distanced himself from his family and his friends. He pretty much cut them off completely. He failed to acknowledge any kind of love or care that they had shown him throughout his life. And he eventually ended up living in the remote wilderness of Alaska. And he had no resources. He wasn't prepared to live through an Alaskan winter. And so he continued to refuse to accept help. He had no value for relationships or opportunities he had been given him. And so it left him isolated. He would meet people that would try to help him along and give him something along the way. And he was determined instead to live life on his own terms, ignoring the wisdom and the care and those that tried to show some kind of kindness towards him. And so, in his final days, trapped in the Alaskan wilderness, really with no way to escape, McCandless wrote in his journal about his regret for cutting off ties with those who had cared about him. You know, he realized too late, the importance of really that human connection that God has given to us, the blessings that he had previously taken for granted. And really, the tragedy of it all is that he died from starvation and exposure before he could return to his family and reconcile. I think his story ought to remind us of the critical importance of gratitude to God and to the people and things that God has allowed to enrich our lives. You know, that was Paul's habit of life. He was praising the Lord for Philemon. Now, Paul didn't say that he just went to the Lord on Thanksgiving to thank the Lord for Philemon. It wasn't Philemon's birthday that he's saying, listen, it's your birthday. No, when you read this, you understand that this was a habit. It was something that was consistent or even persistent, if I could put it that way. This was a manner or a habit of life for Paul. You know, you ever think about what Paul's prayer list looked like? I think it was pretty extensive. In Ephesians 1:15 and 16, he said, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That was written to the church of Ephesus. The church of Colossae, he said in verse 9 of chapter 1, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. To the church of Thessalonica, he said in chapter 1, verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. And of course, I just read the one in Philemon. Paul spent some time in prayer praying that those churches would be grounded. He had some very specific prayer requests. It wasn't, Lord, bless the church. No, what was he saying? That you're going to have a desire and be filled with the knowledge of his will. That is very specific. Paul wanted God to do something in the life of those churches. And here he is reminding Philemon that he, every time he goes to pray, he is bringing Philemon before God and thanking God for who Philemon is. You know, I said it a minute ago, but I just want to kind of hammer that thought down just a little bit tonight. God allows all sorts of different people into your life. Some of them are superiors, meaning they're an authority in your life. Some of those might be, I don't want to say inferiors, all right, but people that you might be an authority in their life. But there's peers, and then you have family. There are just so many different realms of our lives that God allows people to come and brush shoulders with us. And if we're not careful, we'll just take all of those people for granted. No matter what blessings they get given to us, no matter how much they mean to us, we just move on as though we expect it. See, I think that when I think about some of the character qualities that a Christian ought to have, when I look at Paul, he had a heart of gratitude. And he did something about it. It wasn't just, boy, I'm thankful. He took that gratitude and allowed it to motivate him to pray for Philemon, to pray for the church of Ephesus, to pray for the church of Colossae and Thessalonica. I mean, his gratitude moved him to do something tangible. Do you understand what I'm saying? It wasn't just, well, of course I have a grateful heart. Now, listen, I think if you are grateful, there's some things that you can do tangibly. But I think the best thing that you can do is to pray and thank God for that person. Now, you don't have to tell the person every single time you pray for them. But I don't think it's wrong to let them know that you're praying and thanking the Lord. That's what Paul was doing here. You know what's interesting is that Paul moves from, there's really this whole letter right now is getting ready to change the trajectory. Look at verse 2, if you will. It says, I'm just going to jump around a little bit, to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. So what Paul is saying, he starts off in verse 1 talking about Paul being a prisoner of Jesus Christ and Timothy, our brother. And so he was saying we and our, and it's these pronouns are all plural. It just means that there's more of us that are talking to you and your family, okay? I'm going to preach a whole point on pronouns tonight. Then it goes to verse 3. He says, grace to you. So he is already mentioned Philemon, his wife, what I believe to be his son, and he's saying, grace to all of you and peace. But listen, in verse 4, he restricts the recipient, and he begins to restrict that which is being sent. Okay, so look at verse 4 then. He says, I thank my God. It's not our. Listen, we were all thankful for you all, and we're grateful for who you are, but Paul moves from all of us writing to Philemon, let me talk to you just for a few minutes. And he goes from our to my. I thank my God, making mention of thee, always in my prayers. But not only does he restrict who he is writing it from, he restricts who it's to. But right there in the middle of it, it says, making mention of thee. That's the singular. That's one of the beauties of the King James. You can look at that and know immediately that he's not talking to all of the recipients of the letter. He has restricted that, and he's pointing that right down to Philemon. Let me tell you the two things this does. First of all, it personalizes God. He says, this is my God. Now, it's not saying it's mine and you can't have any of it, but he's saying, listen, I have such a relationship with God that it's not just God the Father, it is my God. What a great testimony of Paul. He says, listen, when I go to God, when I go to my God, I can pour out my heart and I tell him how grateful I am for you, Philemon. Oh, I'm thankful for your family, but listen, there is something between you and me that God knows about and that you know about. God is the one that Paul is thanking. And he's bringing up Philemon in prayer, making mention of thee. But he really makes it a personal appeal. Now remember, we said last week that Paul is not going to use the leverage of his apostleship to cause Philemon to make a decision that he ought to make. But he's really not buttering him up, but I would say softening him up for an appeal. He's about to say, we've heard about your faith and your love and the things that you do. And eventually he's going to get to the point where he says, based on the fact that you are a stout Christian, that you are devoted and you are full of love and you are full of faith, why don't you do what is right in this situation? But he has and is making a personal appeal here. I wanted to stop and just ask this question. What are some ways that manifest itself? Manifest is a good King James word. That's why I like to use it. You know what it means? To be made known publicly. That's all manifest means. To make known publicly. But I want to ask you, what are ways that we demonstrate a lack of gratitude to others in our walk? Because it's good. It's good to stay up here and say, yes, I need to have a thankful heart and I'll be more thankful. But if we don't recognize when we're not thankful, then we'll go out of here and think that we're okay when maybe there's some things in our lives that we need to adjust. Maybe there's some things that I hadn't thought about before. Now, I've got five things here, but I always like asking you because you always have much better ideas than I do. Sometimes we hit the same ideas, but what does ingratitude look like in our walk today? Not a heart of gratitude, but a heart of ungratitude. Winner? Yeah, I think that's interesting. I was not even thinking on that spiritual plane, but she's saying when you don't spend time with the Lord, in a sense, that's a just really dishonoring him. It's like, I have it, but when we spend time with him in a way that's saying, Lord, thank you for what you've done for me. That's good. That's good. Anybody else have an idea? Let me give you one that I'm thinking of so we're kind of getting all on the same plane. When we fail to acknowledge the effort or help of someone else, when somebody goes out of their way to help us and we don't do anything or say anything about it, we just take it for granted and we don't acknowledge their effort. It could be something small or it could be something a little larger. It could be they gave you something and there's just no acknowledgement of their help in your life in some way. That's just a heart. If I could just sum it up, when you take people for granted, that is a symptom of a heart that is lacking gratitude. All right? What is another symptom of a heart that is lacking gratitude? Anybody have any ideas? All right? When you're focusing on yourself and you're thinking about what you don't have. I'm looking to see. I had something like that on my list. I'm going to combine that with constant complaining and criticism because that's right in line with what I'm thinking there. Okay, when we are focused on what we don't have, when we're focused on what is wrong, instead of recognizing what God has given to us, that is a certain symptom of a lack of gratitude in our heart. When we're constantly criticizing and complaining about, especially about what others do for us or what they're doing, it shows that we're more focused on flaws than on the effort or good intentions behind what the actions are. Now, I will say sometimes things don't turn out when somebody tries to help you. But I hope that you'll look beyond the I don't say product, but the result, and look at the motive. and say, you know, this person tried, and they were trying to be a blessing to me, and maybe it didn't turn out, but I can be thankful for their effort and their love towards me, even if it didn't, and you know, maybe sometimes somebody's help costs you more money or time or effort than what they intended. But when we are focused on what we don't have, when we're focused on the critical aspects of it, it's a symptom of an ungrateful heart. Anybody else have one? Yes, sir. When we have expectations of others, I was just talking to somebody at great length about expectations the other day. And sometimes we have unmet expectations. Sometimes we have unrealistic expectations. Sometimes we have unbiblical expectations, right? And I think that even sometimes we put those expectations on God. And God's supposed to be doing this, or this person's supposed to be doing that. And I do think that is parallel to some of the other thoughts that we had, but I do think it's distinctly different in the fact that it is us, that we're the bar for what is the standard and how everyone is supposed to treat me or what they're supposed to do for me. And so that's good. Our expectations of others can certainly be a symptom of a heart that is lacking gratitude. How? Let me give you one that is actually number one on my list, very similar to what Winter was saying. And rather than just spending time with God, but just like Paul here is taking time to pray for Philemon, when we fail to pray for others. Now listen, preachers are so glad when people start praying, okay? But if all we do is spend time praying for ourselves, we've missed out on an incredible ministry of supplication for and helping others, and being a blessing to others as we go to prayer. You know, it's kind of like when parents see their children reading. I've seen this in some places where, well, I don't care what my kids read as long as they're reading something. That's a horrible philosophy. Let me just say that out loud, okay? It matters what they're reading. And by the way, it matters where we're spending our prayer time. Now, I'm for praying, and I need prayer, and I pray for myself. But if that's all I ever prayed for, I'm going to miss out. And I think that when we never pray for anyone else, that is a sign of ingratitude. That's a symptom or a heart symptom of ingratitude. Let me give you one last one. Anybody else have one? Yes, sir. Yeah, just taking people. Right. That's good. So Brandon's just kind of reiterating that idea of just taking people for granted. And you just expect them because maybe that's their job or that's their position or whatever it may be. And that's a symptom. When we have no care about people helping us or being a blessing to us because we expect it. So that's good. I would give one other one. It's when we compare what we have to what others, let me rephrase that, not just comparing what we have to what other people have, but when we compare what somebody else has done for us with what someone else has done for us. Now, I know none of you would do that, all right? I hope none of you would do that. If somebody gives you a gift card and you say something like, oh, I love to eat at that place. So-and-so just gave me a gift card for twice that amount and I can't wait to go back and eat there for dessert. Now, I know you wouldn't do that, but you might in your heart. It might not make it to your mouth. I hope it never would. But I don't want it to even reach in your heart. That's a heart of ingratitude. When you start comparing what people have given to you and how they've been a blessing. Listen, anytime, you don't deserve anything. And anything or anytime somebody does something for you, that's God's richest blessings from, and God's working through that person. And oftentimes they have sacrificed to be a blessing, and to compare that, even in your in the secret compartment of your heart, and say, boy, that's reprehensible to me. But it's certainly a symptom of ingratitude. So just very, very quickly, because we need to, this is all the further we're going to get on that first point. Don't lose this paper, okay? We're not printing another 60 next week. What are some ways that you can then show gratitude? Some very practical ways that we can demonstrate our gratitude. Well, I'll give you one. You can pray for somebody else, right? So just like Paul was for Philemon, that is one way that we can demonstrate our gratitude. And it's okay to let somebody know, hey, I'm praying for you. I thank God for you. And what a blessing you are in my life. And don't just say that. Don't be fake about it. But if you go to the Lord, it's okay to let somebody know your prayer. I think it could be an encouragement to them. But don't pray so you can tell somebody. You're getting the cart before the horse, if you will. You pray for them and ask God to bless them and thank God for them. And it's okay to let somebody know then. I don't have a problem with that, but your motive ought to be right. You ought to check your motive on that. Okay, I saw a hand over here. Daniel? That is wonderful. That's like right under, that was the next one on the list. I mean, a thank you card. Notice Daniel did not say a thank you text or a thank you email, all right? Have something that you can hand that person and that has tactile feel to it, and they can open that up, and it took some time and effort for you to be able to express your gratitude to that person. And listen, a thank you card written in somebody's chicken scratch means so much more to me than a text that I can read easily, all right? Sometimes I've got to give it to my wife so she can decode it for me, but together we're able to figure it out. But the honest truth is, when you hand somebody a thank you card, it really goes so much further than just some electronic message on a social app or messaging. It says, listen, I have taken time, and your gift meant enough for me to take some time out of my life and put it down and give it to you. By the way, be thoughtful in your thank you cards. Thank you for the generous gift. Love so-and-so. You might as well just pray and thank the Lord for all the missionaries and to meet all their needs, okay? Now, if you know me, you know that's being a little sarcastic, because I think God wants to hear specificity when we pray, and I think there should be some specificity when we thank others for how God has used them to be a blessing to us. Is there any other ways? All right, Joseph? Yeah, that's great. That'd be great. Ask them, hey, how can I pray for you? You've been a blessing to me. I want to pray for you. Did I see a hand over here? All right, Brandon. Yeah, just be a friend back to them. Good. Good. Josiah? Yeah, don't make those comparisons. Right. Right. Excellent. I guess what I really want to spark in your thinking tonight is not just, yes, I should be a grateful person and gratitude should be part of my character, but to look and ask myself, how am I intentionally being grateful? What in my life demonstrates that I have a heart of gratitude? Or are there some symptoms in my life that are showing me that I have a heart of ingratitude? Now, we don't like that. Nobody wants to look at themselves in the mirror and say, you know, I'm not a very grateful person. But if we take people for granted, when the waiter comes and hands us something and our first thought is, it took him a long time to get here, instead of, hey, thanks for bringing that over, even though that's their job, right? I'm just saying, just little things, just little practical things that we can look at and say, Lord, do I have a heart of gratitude? That's what he wants us to have. Have a heart of gratitude. Paul went to God every time he prayed, and every time he prayed, he said, God, thank you for Philemon. Thank you for the faith and the love that he demonstrates to Christians there in Colossae. And what a blessing he is. Lord, thank you for that man. He was demonstrating. He allowed that gratefulness to motivate him to do something about that gratitude. Let that be true in your life. Be a grateful person and let it manifest itself. Let it be made known publicly to that person, at least, of your thankfulness for them.